Thank you, Father God, that nothing compares to the promise I have in you, Lord. And likewise, I believe, Father God, that nothing compares to the plans you have for us, Lord. Lord, and the irony is the plans you have for us is, yes, it's about us, but it's not about us. Thank you, Father God. Nothing compares to the plans you have for each and every individual here today. Lord, we come and I just come and give my heart to you. I give my soul to you, and I say, Father God, just speak your ways into my heart again. Lord, your word says that the new covenant, that the law has been written on our hearts, Lord. The plans that you have for us is already on our heart. I just ask, Lord, come and blow over hearts so that we can see what is already written on our hearts today, Lord. If we feel bogged down, if we feel in jail, if we feel where we're heading, there's really not much plans. Lord, come, Lord, and come and blow over our hearts again. Come and dust off our hearts with your love so that we can see what is written on there. If any of you have a vision or a word to share, please come and share.
While we were worshiping, I was just getting, just in line with what Retief was saying now as well, I was getting a picture of this big book, and the person sitting behind the book is Jesus. And this book has everything of our lives in it, like the things that we struggle with, our sins and everything. And he starts from behind, sort of where our lives are now. Let's say I'm 28 years old, and nearly turning 29 next year. It's like at the end, so it's still to continue. And he just starts rubbing out, like, and there's specific words that stand out. He says, words of bitterness, fear, like a picture of a jail. And it just goes on, and it includes everything, and he goes back to the beginning, and everything's rubbed out, and everything's clean. And he closes the book, and on the book it says clean, and then he takes the next book and does the same thing, and he says pure, and he takes the next book, and it says holy. And then he just says that is what the blood of Jesus does. And I just believe that God actually wants to come and heal people today. It's just a scripture in Psalm 103. Just find it. As far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. The life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it, and it's gone, and its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting is the Lord's love, is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children. And I just experienced God saying very specifically, like, I think we've all heard the term about amnesty. And like forgiveness, and he's like, I've given you, do you want it? It's just sort of laying it down there in front of us, and it's for all of us. Yeah, I think all of us need to be in front and just be receive that. So afterwards, if you want to pray with us, please come pray with us, because I really believe that it's something God wants to impart. So I'm just quickly going to pray now. Father, just thank you for your heart of love, Lord. Thank you, Father, for your forgiveness. We thank you, Father, for the cross. And just thank you, Father, for those things that we think are impossible. It's not impossible to you. The things that we struggle with, the things that we face and so many times hide away from you and want to run away from you, Father. But we just acknowledge that you are God and that you have lordship out of our lives, Lord. And I pray for every heart here, Lord. You know exactly what's going on in the heart. You know exactly what the dreams are, what the struggles are, and even what the good things are. But I thank you, Father, that the picture sort of goes on, and after the books are clean, you start writing in it. You want utter and complete control of our lives, and you want to write our stories for us, Lord. And when we just pray for that, Lord, that we can yield to your lordship in Jesus' name.
This week, I'm a little bit irritated because I'm quite willing as a human, as a person, to be quite vulnerable in my friendships. So I'll be, you know, vulnerable and whatever, and then it's not reciprocated. And I want to go crazy because I'm like, what is going on here? Like, what now? What is happening? And then I'm always the idiot in the story because I'm always the one, like, feeling, like, hurt or vulnerable all the time. It's really not actually so much fun. It's really, I'm a little bit over it, to be quite honest. And I'm frustrated because I don't understand. Because surely, if there's relationship, there needs to be a level, at least, of vulnerability. I'm not saying in every single friendship or relationship we all need to be like, and that doesn't necessarily mean vulnerability. But as I was driving away from this particular friend this week, and the whole week it's been quite prevalent, this vulnerability thing. And I'm like, Lord, I'm just going to stop now because I'm over this now. I'm over being vulnerable. I'm over this because I just get hurt all the time. And I'm just not listening anymore. It's like I'm over it. And I just, it's a struggle because if I do that, I'm unable to harden one part of my heart. So if I harden it, because that's alternative, I can't be like, sort of vulnerable. Either I'm vulnerable or I'm not. And the thing is, I'm going to harden my heart to God. And I just felt like God is saying, this is how I feel towards you guys. Because I'm here. I'm standing here. I'm vulnerable with you. I want to share stuff with you. I want to tell you stuff. I want to be with you. I want to sit with you. I want you to want to sit with me. I'm here. I'm here. I'm waiting. Where are you? Where are you? Because we are there, wherever, and we're not here in front of God. Yeah, let's sit next to him. Cool. And then we see what he sees. Yeah, okay, there's a time for that. But I feel God's heart is like, come and sit here in front of me because I want to look at you. Come sit here. Where are you? I'm waiting. It's been like however many years. I'm still vulnerable. I'm still waiting. I'm still here for you. I'm waiting for you. Where are you? Where are you? Because there's only so much God can reveal to us if we are durkant, with our backs turned to him and our hearts hard. Where are you? Lord, this morning, Father, I just come and I repent, Lord, of a heart hard, Lord. Hard and unwilling, Father, and stubborn. So, Lord, this morning, Father, come and I ask, Lord, that you come and you replace this heart of stone with a heart of flesh, Lord. And I repent, Lord. I repent of being hard, Lord. I repent of standing in the corner of the room, Lord. And this is not about emotions and getting all smushy inside, Lord. It's not that, God. I repent this morning, Lord. And Lord, I'm not repenting for the sake of other people, Lord. Lord, I come stand here this morning, Lord, and I say, Lord, I acknowledge that you are vulnerable before me, Lord. Hanging on the cross, Lord, you send your son to die, Lord, to shed his blood, Lord. And here I am thinking I have a right, Lord, to have a hard heart towards you, Lord. And that song we sang, you know, if you are for us, who can be against us? And Lord, you are for us, Lord. And this morning I just declare that over everyone here, that God is for us. You are for us, Lord. You are for our hearts, Jesus. And we love you, Lord. We love you, God. I love you. We love you, Lord. Sha-da-da-da-da. Ka-da-da-da-da-sa. Shara karata Dia karatarata Shara tarata Dia karatarata Shara karata
Dia parakarata, shia saratara, dia karata, saka, Jesus, Holy Spirit, Jesus, Holy Spirit, Jesus. Sharata, sharata, rara, karara, tara. Holy Spirit, Jesus. Holy Spirit, Jesus. Jesus. Shiara, karara, tara, ta. Shiara, tara, rara, raka. On our knees, on our knees. In front of you, in your eyes, we look. Jesus, Shiara Tara Karata, Tiara Karata Tata, Holy Spirit, Jesus, Holy Spirit, Jesus, 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 Holy, Holy, Holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is to come.
Things that were said during worship and now it's just struck your heart. Just close your eyes and just chat with Him. Just chat with God. Just chat with Him. Just pray that in your heart. Holy Spirit, you're the perfect counselor. You're the perfect comforter. You're the Spirit of truth and the Spirit of wisdom. You're not weird. We thank you that you're not weird, but that you're the Spirit of truth that will guide us into all of the truth. The Spirit of counsel and might that will counsel us and comfort us and speak God's heart to us. Lord, I thank you that since the beginning it was spoken over this church that not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit. And we thank you for that. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thanks, guys. Thank you, Lithuia. We appreciate it. Sam, thanks a lot for that word on the river. That's just a confirmation for me personally. I was driving to Franschhoek on Monday morning, didn't feel too well, and just suddenly God just dropped in my heart, a flood is coming. Just for me, just very clearly a flood is coming. So I believe it's much bigger than just it's here, but it's also much bigger, I believe. And yeah, Lord, we just thank you, Lord. I believe the flood is coming. It's a good flood. But may we be in a place where we don't miss his flood. We don't miss his waters. Amen. Wow. Thank you, Lord. If we give over and we give control to God, he takes control, and I love that. I'm just so thankful. But if anything here is out of the ordinary or weird for you, and it doesn't happen at home or in front of the TV, or it hasn't happened before, or something is weird for you, come and have a chat. Don't let fear or anything that is, weird, hinder you in any way of God's freedom and truth. So come and have a chat if you like, and we can even pray about it. And also ask God, Lord, where is that in the Word? We always go back to the Word of God. So can we just agree with each other that we go seek the truth in the Word and we stick to that in whatever we do. Anyway. Eating the fruit of sacrifice. Now, I don't know if any of you are glad that we may be stepping aside or stepping from the place where we were sharing on God's voice, but I'll tie the two in just now. I'm just going to get myself, and I do apologize, otherwise I might keep you here till 12:30, and that we don't want. We've been talking a lot about intimacy since we have arrived in the beginning of July. God has laid in our hearts and many of yours just to get to a place of intimacy with him. Now, if we just rewind a bit and we see what God said today and what he did today, it's obvious that God is still talking about intimacy with him, calling us back to his heart, softening our hearts, running into his arms, getting to a place where we connect with him. So I think it, and I trust and I hope that that will be a theme throughout my life. Be intimate with God. Now, we spoke about his voice quite a bit, and we had five parts, and don't worry, I'm not going to revise it today. I'll have the sermons up soon on the internet, and then you can go and listen if you really would like. But we did five parts on his voice, and the last one was just memorial stones. Now, we looked in Joshua of the memorial stones, in other words, the things, symbolically speaking, of what God did in our lives. What's the stuff that God has done in your life? What is the stuff that God has spoken into your life, that has happened in your life, where he came through? And we said that's memorial stones that we place down to go revisit. Then when we have a week like Sam has been having this week, where she really had a tough week, that she can go back to her memorial stones and say, Lord, remember what you said there. I remember myself. And also this, in the spirit realm, I remember the enemy of who my God is. Not only for Sam, but also for those who come after her, her children. And likewise for all of us, it's important as we walk with God that we write down, that we remind ourselves and remember the things of what God did. Testimonies is so powerful. That's why I'm asking, I'm not marketing convergence or a conference. If I say, what's your testimony? If I say, look here, guys, the last 3 months, what has God said to you and what has happened in your life? I want your testimonies. It's not to scratch my back, tap my back, or to feel good. It's because I need that faith. I need to know what happened in your life, because that strengthens me. If God came through for you in a miraculous way, I need to hear of that for many reasons. I might be heading on a mission soon. So if somebody's been on mission quite recently or in the past, they've got this awesome testimony. They've got a memorial stone of God's provision and God's goodness and God's breakthrough and just God's supernatural hand in mission, I need to hear that now. Because I want to not stir my emotions up. I want to go full of faith. And that's why we've been chatting about the memorial stone. So I trust you guys have been revisiting your memorial stones. But today we're moving on a bit. And I thought it might be a bit heavy, but I don't think it'll be heavy. But just to cover that, let's quickly pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Lord, may no word pass my lips, Lord, that is not your heart. I pray for the oracles of God. I pray for your heart. I pray for whatever is said in love, Lord. Lord, thank you. We can speak the truth in love. Pray that nothing will be too heavy. But I pray that it will be your Holy Spirit speaking and not me, Lord. So I just say thank you. I cannot preach, but I know you can and your Spirit can. I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Open up our hearts, Lord. Come, Lord. We thank you that you just blow over hearts as we prayed. Remind us of the law, of the things, the dreams, the visions that is on our hearts. Remind us of that today. Not only here, Lord, even in the mother's room, Father God, or even where people are busy with the children in children's church, Lord. Remind us of the things that you've called us for, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So intimacy is at the forefront in what we've been sharing. But intimacy with God, is it mere nice feeling? It's really awesome to connect with God. And if you haven't, I really suggest that you try. And again, it's not a contest. Sometimes we go through seasons. I know there was a season where Edna almost for a year couldn't connect with God. Now, we were in a cell group in Cape Town, in Camps Bay, that was quite radical. You think some of the things that happened here is radical? That's this is a faliki. Then what happened there? I remember I got saved, went to that cell, I got in the car, and I'm like, "Hierdie mense is mal, nooit weer nie." And next week I'll get in the car and I'll say, "Well, these guys are totally off their rockers, never again." And so I just kept on going, and today I think I'm one of those weirdos. Praise God. But the thing is, Edna went through a patch where we would be at cell and God will connect with people's heart. He will speak into people's heart. They'll prophesy. They'll worship. They'll do all biblical, interesting, free stuff. And she will not hear of God. So there comes times where you struggle to connect. But God was doing a very deep work. Luckily, she had memorial stones of connections with God to fall back onto. So if you're going through a patch where you're like, "Retief, I've been coming to church and this feels like braille to me. I have no clue." Come and chat. Let's pray. But know that God wants to connect with you. Anyway, that was just a little commercial break. I don't know if it was for anybody specific. Intimacy with God is not mere nice feelings. Yet, I believe it's a religious spirit that says, well, Christianity in a relationship with God is not about good feelings. It does include good feelings. It does include your emotions. We're a tribe being, and God touches all of our lives. David said, "Even my flesh cries out for you." Now, just imagine that. So be careful if somebody say, "Well, you guys just hype each other up, and it's all emotions," because I believe emotions is involved. If I don't know if any of you have fell in love before, there's a fair bit of emotions involved. God's given us relationships. I said, how Frida and Sophia came running to me. There's a fair bit of emotions involved there. So please don't let the devil rob you with a religious lie that, oh, it's all emotional and, oh, it's all hyped up. No. Yes, if it's only that, we need to be careful. But intimacy is nice feelings, but it's not only nice feelings. And is intimacy with God only about me? We've been speaking a lot about hearing God's voice, connecting with God. But is it all about Retief? Thank you. No, it's not all about me. Does it have nothing to do with me? No, I would not think that either. I would think that's a religious lie as well. If it's all about God, nothing about me. Oh, I'm his son. It is a bit about me. I was standing in the door. My kids came running in. We had an awesome moment. Was it all about me? Father from the ice. No, it's not. Yes, it's nice that they actually do love me and come running, but it's all imparting identity in them by hugging them, saying I miss them, bringing them quite expensive chocolates from Franz Hook. But I clearly felt the Lord says, yes, do that. Because it's not about the money. I just want to say, look, you guys, I thought of you. I was thinking about you. I missed you. Here's a very expensive chocolate. I think it's still somewhere there in the kitchen. But the bottom line is like, you see, I've thought of them. In other words, it's a dual thing. But it's not only about me. I want to step aside and please don't get the two murky or get them all mixed up. But with intimacy, take a husband and a wife, for instance. If they are intimate, truly intimate, physically speaking, the result of that is sometimes what? A baby. A baby is a blessing. Really, a child is a real blessing, and I've shared a lot about my children, and those of you that haven't had children or planning on getting children, they are a real blessing. Children are a blessing of the Lord. But children come with a fair bit of responsibility. My mother said, and excuse me for quoting the Afrikaans, my mother used to tell Edna quite often, and I think it might be a bit she might have been a tad irritated, but my mother said, kinders breek jou in soos 'n perd. In other words, children, Lente, what would that be? Children, I have no idea how to put that in English, but kinders breek jou in soos 'n perd for the English guys. They take over your life sometimes. They're a massive blessing, but they do get hold of you. There's not an on and an off switch with me fathering my two children. Yes, I can go away for a week like this last week, but I know they've been attended to. They're well looked after because Edna's there. Do I go away from my responsibility? No, not at all. In fact, I come back to it. It is a blessing. But the first night back home, I was up twice again. It comes with a fair amount of responsibility. And sometimes, I don't know if some of the parents here, sometimes with a fair bit of hurt, sometimes with a fair bit of cost, sometimes with a fair bit of sacrifice. Children are a blessing, but they come with a bit of sacrifice. In other words, intimacy between a man and a woman produces fruit. And likewise, in the most godly of fashions, I believe also the intimacy with God is about you, yes. It is about Him, yes. But the intimacy with God produces fruit. If you come face to face with Him, like Demi shared earlier, the fruit firstly is healing, love, restoration. But as you grow out of that and you come to a place where often you meet in that place with God, in the Holy of Holies, you start hearing His voice, and He might just impart new fruit, a new vision, a new baby, spiritually speaking, in your life. I was worshiping one morning and praying to God, spending time on my bed at my mother's place in Azefontein. I told the story way back in 2009 of what happened. God said, back up and go. And the rest of you know the story, you don't. Sorry, but I'll repeat it at a later stage. But we moved out to Malmesbury from Cape Town and lived there for 5 years. In the place of intimacy, God placed the vision in my heart. We didn't move immediately. That thing started to grow. It started to form here. I was pregnant with what God has placed in my heart. I had to carry that prophetic truth that God has spoken into my heart. We moved there, and it felt like all hell broke loose. Later on, me and Edna were without jobs. I like that connection. Good. Thank you, Lord, for that one. We were both without jobs. And there we're sitting with this child. The whole world is thinking, where did you get that illegitimate baby from? Did you abduct it? Why are you in Malmesbury and you're sitting without jobs and you're saying it's God? I'm like, I was in the Holy of Holies. I connected with my Father. He spoke something into my heart. It came to fruition halfway around. I don't understand it, but it came out of that place. That, by the way, no pastor can give you. That, by the way, no reverend bishop, archbishop, president of Dominee can give you. That you get from God Himself. Yes, obviously, if you hear I need to go plant a shofar in Antarctica, I'll say, Let's have a chat and a prayer about it. Let's just see if that baby is truly of God. Let's just go and test. We do have a paternity test. Yeah, paternity test. We just check if that was truly of God, of His Spirit. So yes, we do. But the connection, the speaking face to face, that we can't give each other. You can be the most awesome cell leader in the world, but you can't direct these 6 or 8 or 10 people to be filled with the fruit of God that comes through intimacy in His voice. I think we're still busy with the intro. I'm quite fired up. Praise God. So anyway, if you chat to the Lord, if you spend time with Him, there might be fruit coming from there. And there's a cost involved, as I said. Vision, direction, command, church, revival, business, healing, love, relationship, move. Many, many things can come from that place. So yes, God does amazing things, but yes, He also sometimes gives us a command. God doesn't necessarily hint. It might sound like a hint or an idea, but many a times if you go on with life, you'll just realize it's a command. Command sounds a bit weird because we've got a prior understanding of that, but command in love, direction in love, is really the way to go for each and every one of us. John 15, verse 4 to 6. You can skip that part. We've done that. Thank you. Next one. There you go. Thank you. John 15, verse 4 to 6. Abide in me and I in you, Jesus speaking. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. We need to be plugged in. And if we're plugged in, there's going to be fruit. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. You'll bear much fruit if you're connected. You'll bear much fruit out of intimacy in the Holy of Holies, hearing God's voice. You're going to bear much fruit. For apart from me, you cannot do nothing. And look here. It's when you're connected. Let's call it when you are in a place of intimacy. It is where you are in a place of hearing God's voice that you bear much fruit. The scripture is not saying, when you bear much fruit, then you will be plugged in. Then you will be connected. No, it's the other way around. I think sometimes in religious circles, we'd like to put the cart before the horses. Oh Lord, I'm washing the floors. Oh Lord, I'm packing this. Oh Lord, look what I'm doing. I'm praying. Oh Lord, look, I've got all this fruit to connect to me. But I believe relationship, a father-son relationship, is the other way around. Get the relationship, get the intimacy right. Let's take the married couple again. They don't speak to each other. They despise each other. They fight daily. They fight after work. They're so irritated with each other. They've been married for 3 or 4 years. Maybe we should get a dog. The dog comes and they still fight and they're still irritated and life is just a mess. And one day one of them gets a revelation. Maybe we should get a child. No, no, no. A child should flow out of a place of intimacy. A child will not fix your intimacy. You understand more or less what I'm sketching here? I believe the same is true with God. Let's go back to scripture before I lose myself. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. Well, Jan shared 2 weeks ago about being a friend of Jesus. But he said, if you love me, you'll obey me. Jesus speaking. And the second point was clearly, there's a cost of following Jesus. That's more or less what we're alluding to today as well. There's a cost. There's a sacrifice many a times if you follow Jesus, if you're intimate with God, if you've got a relationship with God. Sometimes there is a bit of a cost. You and your wife decide you have 1, 2, 3, 4 kids. There's cost involved, as we've said a number of times. Can we quickly play that clip, please? After that, we're going to look closely at our own lives. This is a clip. You might have seen it before. It's about a job interview, and it's done via Skype.
Just give me 1 second. Thank you. Sorry. Hey. Hi. 2 minutes. Thank you. Hi, good afternoon. Sorry about that.
Hey, Oi. Hi, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you as well.
Have you ever done one of these interviews over the camera before?
No.
Well, let me tell you a little bit about the job to get started with. It's not just a job. It's sort of probably the most important job. The title that we have going right now is Director of Operations, but it's really kind of so much more than that. Responsibilities and requirements are really quite extensive. First category for the requirements would be mobility. This job requires that you must be able to work standing up most or really all of the time, constantly on your feet, constantly bending over, constantly exerting yourself, a high level of stamina.
Okay.
That's a lot. For how many hours?
135 hours to unlimited hours a week. It's basically 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
I'm sure you'll have a chance from time to time to maybe just sit down here and there, yeah?
You mean like a break?
Yeah.
No, there are no breaks available.
Is that even legal?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So like no lunch?
You can have lunch, but only when the associate is done eating their lunch.
I think that's a little intense.
No,
not possible.
That's crazy.
Now, this position requires excellent negotiation and interpersonal skill. We're really looking for someone that might have a degree in medicine, in finance, and the culinary arts. You must be able to wear several hats. Associate needs constant attention. Sometimes they have to stay up with an associate throughout the night. Being able to work in a chaotic environment, if you had a life, we'd ask you to sort of give that life up. No vacations. In fact, Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, and holidays, the workload is going to go up, and we demand that with a happy disposition.
That's almost cruel. That's almost a very, very sick, twisted joke.
But when there's time to sleep or...
Oh, no time to sleep.
Yeah, all-encompassing, almost.
That's exactly right.
365 days a year?
Yes.
No, that's inhumane.
That's very insane.
The meaningful connections that you make and the feeling that you get from really helping your associate are immeasurable. Also, let's cover the salary. The position is going to pay absolutely nothing.
Excuse me?
No. Nobody's doing that for free.
Yeah, pro bono. Completely for free.
No.
What if I told you there's someone that actually currently holds this position right now? Billions of people, actually.
Who?
Moms.
Yeah.
Yeah. Moms.
That's awesome.
Oh!
And they meet every requirement, don't
wow.
they?
Oh my God. Moms are the best!
Yeah, there's no pay. They're 24 hours, they're always there.
Now I'm thinking about my mom.
Yeah, and what are you thinking about her?
I'm thinking about all those nights and everything.
Thank you so much for everything you do. I know it doesn't seem like I appreciate all of it, but I definitely do.
So, Mom, I want to say thank you for everything that you've done. I love you very much. You've been there through thick and thin. My mom is just awesome. She's awesome.
Lord, thank you for our moms. Now, we've stopped at looking at sometimes the things God asks us, of us, asks a cost or a sacrifice of us. Yet, that video clip just clearly just struck my heart in that every single one of us sitting here today eats the fruit of sacrifice of somebody else. You might not have had the perfect mom, you might have. In the case where you've had the perfect mom, you are the fruit, and you're still daily eating the fruit of her sacrifice. That was obviously just the tongue-in-cheek thing did there, but I believe it's so true of many things. Your mother and father might have sacrificed a lot. I know in our communities and in our country, there's probably households where a mother and or a father does not eat to let their children physically eat. There are sacrifices all around. A more lighthearted sacrifice just to lift the mood, even though we're very thankful for our mothers, is life's everyday sacrifices. Thing is, we pitch up at church, we grab a seat, we come and sit here and we listen to music. Sam, how many years have you been playing keyboard? 6. How many hours do you think you've spent behind the keyboard? A lot. I wish you could lie and tell me an obscene amount of hours, but a lot. This morning, we enjoyed the fruit of her sacrifice in following God, in playing the keyboard. We've got Emmy and Cedric there at the back. How many years have you been here, Emmy, again? 5 since the beginning? And once you've, one weekend you missed because you were in Durban? Say for that, every single Sunday, him and with the help of Cedric have been setting up church with your help. Time and time again, he works 6 days a week. Sundays he comes to church and he's the main driving force about setting up the church. We're not worshiping a man now. I'm just saying we're having the fruit. The fact that I have the privilege of sharing the message with you is because I'm eating the fruit of Emmy's sacrifice. Then maybe in a lighthearted note, some people gave their lives in thinking, I don't want to go to the toilet in the bush. I'll think of a way to make it easier for all of us. Praise God for them. We've got toilets today. If you get in your car and you drive down the road, I don't think it's that easy to build a road. Have any of you gone on holiday and then you're really ticked off, for the lack of any other words that I may use here in front? You're really ticked off of the fact that the government is actually working on the N1 in the December holiday, and you get between Lanesburg and Beaufort West. I think it's Riebeek. Beaufort West. Between Lanesburg and Beaufort West, you sit for 20 or 30 minutes. But we don't remember, we don't necessarily see the guys that are actually using their sweat and tears to build that tar road. So that next time you go on holiday, you can just hop onto the road and drive to your destination. Guys, I thought about it this week. We eat a lot of fruit of other people's sacrifice. A lot. And just start thinking about it. Actually name them. Actually thank God for them. The spirit of thanksgiving, the Holy Spirit will just enlighten you if you start thinking of the sacrifice that other people make, and that you can just merely enjoy the fruit thereof. That was just obviously down here on earth. This is church, so we need to make it quite spiritual. In Christianity, if it was not for Abraham, if it wasn't for Joseph, if it wasn't for David, if it wasn't for Paul or Mary saying yes to God when God spoke to them in a place of intimacy, where God spoke into their heart, where God said, I've got a job, are you the one? Are you willing to go? Are you willing to be the mother of the Messiah, of Jesus Christ? Are you willing to be persecuted? Are you willing to be seen as, quite frankly, as a slut? Are you willing to see him die, your own son die on a cross? Are you willing to be ridiculed by the whole world? Mary had a massive sacrifice. I'm not going to go into the detail. I haven't researched it either, but I don't think you have to. Mary, the mother of Jesus, had a massive privilege, but she also, I believe, had a massive sacrifice. And guess what? Mary, way back, had a massive sacrifice, and I'm the mere fact that I can stand here, the mere fact that God came and he saved me out of you know what. Oh, praise God, you do not know what. But all the nonsense that I was having and sins in my life, the fact that God could actually save me from that, it's because one young girl said yes to God when he rocked up and said, this is going to happen. Today I'm still eating the fruit of that sacrifice. It's massive. It's like when you drop a pebble in a still standard dam, and you drop it in and it just makes That's a very deep, profound thing that I just forgot. It makes a ripple effect all through the ages. And I'd like to contend that each one of us has that inside of us. I don't want to spoil it. I'm going to keep that moment for later. Let's quickly look at the more spiritual things. God himself, John 3:16. I don't think I have it on there. I'm not sure, but you know it by heart. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God himself decided to send his only Son. So our lives are full of the sacrifice of other people, and we're eating the fruit. Now, you might sit there and think, look, Ratif, you have no idea what you're talking about. My life is really a mess. You might not have had the perfect father and mother. You might not have had the material things that you needed. Some of us are spiritually orphaned sometimes because our mother and father never knew the things of God, the ways of God, the Spirit of God. And you think, but hectic, Ratif, what are you talking about? There's no fruit. And in fact, if there's fruit, it's fraught. It makes you sick. That which I was given. But praise God, I would like to contend that each one of us, whatever's gone wrong in the past, have by God's grace the ability to draw a line in the sand, to draw a line in the Spirit, and ask and say, Father God, no more. You make all things new. Me and Edna, we come out of broken homes. And when she met me, I was in a bar and I had a brandy or two, and I said to her, I don't even believe in marriage. I would love to have children, but I don't believe in marriage. Shocking statement from a pastor. But we need to keep it real. God came and healed me and he restored me and he showed me what we can have. But he also said to me, Ratif, it's my way or no way. Have I waxed it? I'm still busy. I believe in faith, I will. But I want God's blueprint for a marriage. I want God's blueprint. And we do make a lot of mistakes, guys. But still, I know that if I say God, with God's grace, say, tot hiertoe en nie verder, God can turn it around. A new ripple effect can start. We can cut off that of old, and a new ripple effect can start in my life and in the generations to come. But are you willing to pick it up? Are you willing to say, Lord, I don't know how, but I know you can? For the have-nots, or for those things where we do not enjoy the fruit of sacrifice, the scripture that came to my mind was John 10:10, and it's there on the board. A thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. But Jesus said, I have come so that they may have life and have it in abundance. And I believe there is a line, the line that you draw in agreement with God, and as he leads you, the line which you draw in family lines, in your family, in your household, in relationships, in business, in even finance, and then especially spiritually speaking, where you say, Lord, come and help me draw the line, is in the middle of that verse. A thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. And I've seen that. I saw that in my house growing up as a child, or houses, obviously, father on that side, mother on this side, stepmom, this, that, boyfriend, whatever. And likewise, Edna. Yet, I believe that we serve a sovereign God that will now say, no, I have come so that you may have life and have it in abundance. And I believe that should be true then for Frida and Sophia. I'm not judging anybody. I'm just saying it's by God's grace that he brings us out of stuff. But we don't have to sit and wait. We can say, Lord, pick me, take me. Last scripture that I want to add before we start wrapping it up. The fruit of our sacrifice, and we look at Christ. In all things, we come back and we say, we're following you, Christ. And we look back to you. Philippians 2. If then there is any encouragement in Christ, if any consolation of love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit there, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by thinking the same way, having the same love, sharing the same feelings, focusing on one goal. Do nothing out of rivalry or conceit, but in humility consider others as more important than yourselves. Everyone should look not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. And I think that's a massive challenge in our civilization, in our Western civilization in this era. But yet we see Jesus' example. Make your own attitude that of Christ Jesus. We're following followers of Christ. Make your own attitude that of Christ Jesus. We, existing in the form of God, did not consider equality with God as something to be used for his own advantage. Instead, he emptied himself by assuming the form of a slave, taking on the likeness of men. And when he had come as a man in his external form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death. God said to him, "We've got a problem. I need somebody to fix it. I need somebody to stand in the gap. Are you willing? Are you willing to sacrifice so that billions of people can live? Are you willing, my son, to sacrifice so that billions of people can have true eternal life? My son, are you willing to sacrifice? You know me. I love you. But are you willing to do this one thing for me so that billions can know me?" Clear sacrifice. For this reason, God highly exalted him and gave him the name above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. In John 10:10, a thief comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I've come to so that they may have life and have it in abundance. We need to, on what side of the line are we going to stand? Guys, it is awesome to connect with God. It is awesome to hear from him. It's awesome to get to know him. But there's also world, nations out there perishing, not knowing him. There's people hungry, there's people starving. You have felt hurt and destruction in your own family, maybe. That does not have to go on. They say a lot of things about Table View and surrounds about relationships and marriage, and yeah, just they say a lot of stuff. They say a lot of stuff about the world outside. But you know what? We're a bunch of world changers. We don't need a big church. Big church will be cool. Jesus needed 12. Well, in fact, one counted himself short. He needed 11 at the end of the day to change the whole world. That effect is still going on. And this is definitely not a church speech either. This is for us as children, as sons and daughters of God. Intimacy is awesome, and we will not stop hearing from God. But there's a place where we get so infused and filled by him, filled by his truth and his purpose, that you say, "Lord, I can truly now forsake everything." And it might not be the massive thing. It might just merely be today or this afternoon to bless somebody with a lift, to give somebody food. But many a times in our Christian walk, there might just be this matter of sacrifice. And we just lastly put it to you. You are the product, and daily we all eat the fruit of other people's sacrifice. But the other side is also true. Many of us hold the key, even a sacrificial key, so that other people can eat that fruit and live. I'm really excited to go to Holland, for instance. This just comes to mind. But you know what? There's probably thousands of people perishing there, and God's heart is broken. I know exactly, or I know a fair bit of what I believe the mandate is for going there. Should I stay or should I go? Imagine getting in heaven one day and Emmy, God just calls him close and says, Emmy, check me. You see that guy, it's over there, all of that, that big group, yes. The mere fact, sorry that I'm, but I think it's just an easy way to illustrate. The mere fact that you said yes to my call on your life meant that those guys can be present here with me. Praise God. I said at the beginning, does God want fruit, sacrifice now from you? The word actually says, God does not seek sacrifice, he seeks obedience. But obedience sometimes leads to sacrifice. Man cannot expect the stuff of you. But what has God written on your heart? What has God written on your heart? All year God said to me, for instance, I'm going to send you on another mission. I didn't know where it's going to come from. And there it came. And I had a decision. Lord, am I going to take it or not? Obviously. Yes, it's going to be a blessing. Yes, I'm going to have awesome time with God. But there's a sacrificial thing in that, that there's fruit needed. Who knows to what it might lead in Holland? Who knows what our God can do through three guys? Just walk in obedience after him. That's my example. What is yours? That is my example. What is yours? Ephesians 2 verse 10 says, and with this, I just want to take any false burden away now. We just expose any false burden to say you will have to go and do now. No, you don't have to go and do now. You'll have to go and listen now. For we are his creation, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared ahead of time, so that we should walk in them. Freedom. With the Spirit of the Lord is there's freedom. But there's going to be works, and there's going to be fruit. For we are his creation, created in Christ Jesus, for good works, which God prepared ahead of time so that we can walk in them. Philippians 2 verse 13, it's not on there, also says that God will lead us both to will and to do. He's not a slave driver. But you need to be a place where you connect, that intimacy is there. Fruit is born. And then there might be a sacrifice for your family, for your kids, for your kids' kids. But remember, every single decision we make daily has an effect on others. Let's pray. Father God, you're Lord of the harvest. And I know, Lord, and I know that the harvest is plenty, Lord, but the workers are few, Lord, and we're all workers as well. Lord, this is, you know my heart. This is not a call to religious dead works. But Lord, I believe there is, spiritually speaking, in this time, there is a call on us as a church. There is a call on Christians, Lord, to connect with you, to be intimate with you, so that your plans for the nations, your plans for this country, your plans for Tableview, your plans for this area can be born, Lord. Lord, I know what you've placed on my heart in this season, and I thank you for that, Lord. Lord, but we call like gold, we call forth in each and every person here, in the mother's room, every person that sees themselves as part of our church or church member, Lord, we call forth, we call up, we call to remembrance, we call to their hearts the plans and purposes of God, the callings of God. Lord, that's all we do. Just your will in people's hearts and lives, Lord. Lord, the Marys might be sitting here. The Abrams might be sitting here. The Noahs might be sitting here. The Angus Buckins might be sitting here. The Esters might be sitting here. And we call forth your will. Please speak to our hearts as we open, as we say yes, Lord. Please speak to us in this time. If you're willing that God will speak to you and even place a certain people group or person or thing or brother or neighbor or person in church in your heart, if you're willing that God speaks to you, don't you want to raise your hand? And won't you, if God has already spoken to you and you need some help, some prayer help, don't you want to also lift up your hand? Father God, you saw the hands, and I thank you for that, Lord. Lord, we're not praying for anything of ourselves. We just ask, Lord, your will. Have your way. Lord, come and birth your purposes. Come and birth your purposes in our lives, Lord. Lord, and even the sacrifice will never be so sacrificial that we can't do it, because we have you, Lord. We have your presence, we have your contentment, we have your spirit. We have your love and we have your freedom, Lord. Thank you, God. And I pray, Lord, as the hands are raised, Lord, we just say, "Here, Father God. Here you are. We see how you use this. We are beneficiaries of the sacrifice of others, Lord. But in a godly, Christ-like, spirit-filled way, we also say, Lord, that which you need, which is sacrificial from our side, Lord, may it be fruit unto others. May it be life unto others. May it be salvation unto others. May it be restoration unto others. And lastly, Lord, I pray, Lord, all through our church and those here, Father God, I pray, Lord, that whatever we as children receive, Lord, I pray that you will up the game for our children, Lord. Albeit healing, albeit breakthrough, albeit your spirit, albeit whatever it is where the enemy came and stole before, we pray, Lord, that you'll give us life and life in abundance for us and for our children, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you draw the line in the sand for every family here and part of our church. In Jesus' name, your kingdom come, your will be done. We honor you, you are our God, and we love you. We love you. Lord, ek vir u gesê, u gee sin aan my bestaan. En ek love it en ek dankie daarvoor in Jesus naam. Amen.